Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30 and California's is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. This morning we continue our sermon series, Why We Do, that is looking at the various parts of regular worship service and why they are so important. This Sunday we are going to look at how important giving and fellowship are to the church body. We see from the earliest existence of the church was helping those in need and sharing what they had with others. Paul instructed the church at Corinth to set aside a sum of money on the first day of each week for collections to share with other churches. The early church was a giving church that loved getting together and worshiping as one body. Romans 12:10, Paul writes, "Be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves." That is true fellowship in the Spirit, loving and honoring one another. Because of the pandemic, many have enjoyed online worship services so they can stay connected to the church. I'm glad we have that option, but there's nothing like seeing one another face to face, encouraging one another, offering a firm handshake, or giving a comforting hug. I've seen the power of this fellowship as we've started to come out of the pandemic for those that have been isolated from people they love. I've seen the impact this kind of fellowship has on someone who has lost a loved one and is going through grief. Hebrews 10:25 talks about not giving up meeting together, but to encourage one another. That's the importance of Christian fellowship. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 gives us an important purpose of weekly worship and fellowship. Encourage the disheartened, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. That is what is waiting for each one of us when we worship together. May God bless you with His glory and presence this week. Thank you for listening.
Together. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you do. Help us to speak about and to act upon your perfect gifts and your wonderful works every day in ordinary ways and places. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Our senior choir sings, "We Will Walk in the Light."
In the light, yes, we will walk in the light.
Alan Martinson reads our scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Why We Do Prayer and Praise.
The first lesson this morning comes to us from Psalms 147th chapter, verses 1 through 7. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for He is gracious, and a song of praise is seemly. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the numbers of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the downtrodden. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God upon the lyre. The second lesson comes to us from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 21. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is immeasurable greatness of His power in us who believe, according to the working of His great might, which He accomplished in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and made Him sit at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. This ends the second lesson.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, choir. What a beautiful, uplifting song, and it's appropriate that today for our message, we are looking at prayer and praise. Why we do the things that we do? Why are these parts of our worship service? Why do we include them? Is it some manual that we look through? Yeah, there's some manuals that we can look through. Is there a heritage? Yeah, there is. But we want to go and make sure the things that we're doing have biblical basis to them. When we look in Acts 2:42, we talked about it last Sunday, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so we talked about the Lord's Supper last Sunday, about the importance to our spiritual growth, to our spiritual well-being, to make sure that when we approach that table, when we approach that time, that we come with the right attitude, we come with the right reflection in our hearts and our minds, that we look inward, we look upward, we look backward, and we look to those around us, that we're properly prepared. Every one of us has a different aspect of the worship that is our favorite part. To some of you, the favorite part might be the benediction, because that means church is over and we can head on out to where we want to go. That's my favorite part, the benediction, you might say. Some of you might say, man, of course it's the choir hearing the special music, and during the summer we have lots of different talented individuals and groups will come in and do special music for us. For some of you, it may be the congregational singing. We're going to talk about that in a little bit later. It may be the parts that we share every Sunday, the prayers that we do together, the times that we hear the voices of people praying together. We're going to talk about that here in a few minutes as well. It might be the sermon time, writing down scripture and really getting to know a little bit more about a passage that we're looking into. All of those aspects are important. We're going to be looking into other aspects next Sunday and the following Sunday after that. But they all have to be parts of what we're building here. It'd be like having a table with only three legs if we left one of the parts of our worship service out of it. It'd only be three legs. It could be useful. It might be something that could be a little beneficial, but it wouldn't be to its full capacity and to its full benefit. It might be like the rainbow. You'd have some of the colors of the rainbow, but you'd be missing some colors if we left out some of these important aspects of worship. Because we want to make sure that we're looking through the prism, looking through the lens of things that we do through a biblical perspective. It might be looking at the flag without the stars and the stripes, just having the colors there. Looking at the night sky without the stars and the planets. The moon is bright, but it'd just be the moon and the darkness. And so this morning we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to have some other verses of scripture to see that, look at the two other aspects that we include on our regular basis of our worship service, is our prayer time and our praise time. And so when we look there at Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. We're going to read that. You're going to see a term used that was also used in Acts chapter 2. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Did you catch that term at the very beginning? He says, devote yourselves to prayer. We said that in Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves. It was not an afterthought. Prayer was just not something we said at the beginning of a meal. It's not just something we recite together one Sunday. They devoted themselves to prayer. We see in Acts chapter 6 there arose kind of a conflict in the church. That happens, even in the early church. There's people coming and saying, hey, the food's not being distributed equally to everybody. And there was kind of a discussion about it. And Peter looked to all of them and said, hey, you guys, this is a group of guys that help you with that. You guys take care of that because we're going to devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of God's word. He understood the importance of prayer. William Carey said it this way about prayer. Prayer catapults us onto the frontier of the spiritual life. Of all the spiritual disciplines, prayer is the most central because it ushers us into perpetual communion with the Father. Meditation introduces us to the inner life. Fasting is accompanying means. Study transforms our minds. But it is the discipline of prayer that brings us into the deepest and highest work of the human spirit. Real prayer is life-creating and life-changing. Prayer, secret, fervent, believing prayer, lies at the root of all personal godliness, said William Carey. To pray is to change. Prayer is the central avenue God uses to transform us. If we are unwilling to change, we will abandon prayer as a noticeable characteristic of our lives. The closer we come to the heartbeat of God, the more we see our need and the more we desire to be conformed to Christ. We see Peter that in Acts chapter 10, he went to the roof to pray regularly. And at that moment, God spoke to him. It's not that we always have to speak to God in prayer, that we have times when God can also speak to us and open up opportunities for us to share with those around us. The disciples saw something special in Jesus' prayer life because they asked him, say, hey, teach us how to pray like you are. And that's why kind of how we get the model prayer. But there's all kinds of other prayers in the Bible. We just read one from Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians is a great letter to read to see all the different prayers that Paul uses in there. But we see also that the early church was a praying church, not just individually, but collectively. Look at Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. You'll see there how powerful their prayer life was. It says, on the release, Peter and John had been arrested. They had been brought before the authorities. They had been told not to preach anymore because it had been kind of a neat amusement to see the things that were happening. But now the authorities were getting worried. Lives were being changed. People were leaving the Jewish faith and becoming Christians. So they called Peter and John before him and said, hey, you got to cut this out. Don't do this anymore. And it says this in verse 23. On the release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Their first action to do was, in their fear and their worry about what's going to happen in their lives, they went to each other and they raised their voices together, just like we did for the prayer revolution, just like we do in the prayer of the day, just like we do with the Lord's Prayer. But then listen to their prayer. They said, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant and our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against the Anointed One. You see, when they prayed, they used scripture that went along with the emotion, with the feeling that they were feeling in their prayer life. And I encourage you to do the same thing. Think about a scripture that's important to you and include it in your prayer to let God know where you're coming from. But then they also state what's going on in their lives. Verse 27, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And then look what happened after they prayed in verse 31. After they prayed together in unison as one family, as one church, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. Just get that. They were faced with extinction. They were faced with being wiped out. They were faced with being in prison, being arrested, being punished for their faith. And what was their first response? Pray for boldness. Pray for boldness. Pray for miracles to happen in them and around them to the glory of God the Father. Because they were a praying church. Why do we include prayers in our regular service? Because we want this church and our community to be shaken with the Holy Spirit. We want people to know that something special is going on. We're being blessed on a regular basis right now with guests coming through our doors. And it's because you are inviting people. Because you see something happen. You see the Holy Spirit working. You see the Word of God being preached and lived out and active in people working and teaching and serving in our community. But look what they prayed for. They didn't pray for punishment on Herod and Pontius Pilate. They didn't pray for bad things that happened to them. They prayed for boldness and miracles to take place. We see also in Acts chapter 12 when Peter escapes from prison miraculously, he goes back to this same house. And what does he find the people doing to get together again? Praying together as one family and one church. The early church was devoted to prayer. Not just individual prayer. Just, you know, he says, bring all these different things in prayer. Bring all of our requests before him. But when we come together as one family, in this building, in this sanctuary together, there's a power that comes from praying together. I'm thankful we have our online service for people that can't make it, but they miss out, I think, on one little benefit of being people together, hearing each other's voices, being part of one another, being connected to one another, because the church was devoted to prayer, and we have to do the same thing. Look what they prayed for. We see it as we talk with our confirmands that are going through Ephesians chapter 6, and they're talking about the armor of God. But at the very end of that passage, Paul says this about the armor of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. What can I encourage you to pray for? Pray for all God's people. Pray for the ministry of this church that miracles and wonders will happen because the Holy Spirit working through each one of us individually. Pray for boldness. Pray for opportunities. Pray for opportunities. And then when those opportunities come, pray for the wisdom and the words that come so that you can share and invite and tell people about the reason of hope that you have. And then pray for your leaders. We had our consistory up, the new consistory up for 2022. We don't know what will face us in the upcoming year. Need to pray for your leaders. Pray for your leaders of our choirs. Pray for our leaders of all of our different committees. Because I can guarantee you that they're giving their best every Sunday to make sure that this worship experience is the best that it can be. Our encouragement is that when you leave this building here, that you feel uplifted, that you feel challenged, that you feel encouraged. And I know all these individuals are giving everything they can to show that they love you and they love this church and they want you to be encouraged and loved and know that God is working in this community. But that's only one leg. That's only one part of what we see that is part of the things that we do. The second one we see is found in Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 5. Paul writes this in verses 16 and 17. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in the word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. He says the second part of what we do here is not we only pray, but we praise together. The reason that we chose the song from Martin Luther, because Martin Luther was a big believer in the benefits of music. He said this, one of the important benefits of the Reformation movement was the rediscovery of congregational singing. Think about that. For centuries, they had not sang together as a group and a family. They had not heard each other's voices. Luther had strong convictions about the use and the power of sacred music. He expressed his convictions this way. If any man despises music, as all fanatics do, for him I have no liking. For music is a gift and a grace of God, not an invention of man. Thus it drives out the devil and makes people cheerful. Then one forgets all wrath, impurity, and other devices. Again, the devil, the originator of sorrowful anxiety and restless troubles, flees before the sound of music, almost as much before the word of God. When Pliny the historian wrote back to Trajan, the Roman emperor, about the early church, he says they were a singing church. They would sing hymns all night long, praising their God. And Tertullian, 80 or 90 years later, wrote the same message back. He said this early church, they loved to sing hymns. We see psalms, hymns, spiritual songs that come from the heart, because they knew that when they taught the word of Christ, it was a great way for people to remember God's grace and God's word. A lot of our confirmants, we've had a couple in the last couple years that they've memorized the books of the Bible by singing them. And it's been a way that they remembered them. All of us, I think, could say our ABCs today, but we would probably sing them because that's how we memorize them. Because singing brings encouragement. It brings education. It lets us know and reinforces the words of God's heart. But if we don't come motivated and prepared, we're just going through the motions. Jesus said this about those. He says, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We see Paul and Silas in prison in Acts chapter 16. At midnight, they're chained up, they're locked in stocks, they're uncomfortable, they're hurting, not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring. What do we find Paul and Silas doing at midnight? Praying and singing. If you're going through difficult times, and I know we all go through them at different times in our lives, if you're having stress at different times, I'm going to give you a prescription: prayer and praise. That's why we include those aspects of our worship. We see the power of song. We see the power that comes from the song, and the encouragement that comes from the words that are spoken reminds us of times and reminds us of God's word to let us know that we are not on our own. We see the power of praise, and if we have it here in this worship service, we know we're going to have it in heaven as well. We see in Revelation chapter 5, and they sang a new song, it says, and they have the words of that song. We see it again in Revelation 14. He says, then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb, standing on Mount Zion with 144,000 who had their name of the Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven, like the roar of rushing waters and like the loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps, and they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures. The power of praise brings with us an energy. It brings with a power. I don't know how many people were at the basketball game down at Eldon on Friday night. I was there for the freshman game, the JV game, and the varsity game. And if you were there for the varsity game from the middle of the third quarter to the fourth quarter, it was just a constant roar, a constant sound because of the excitement from both teams. One team would score, and then the next team would score. And it just got louder and louder, all till the very last second of the game. I told the announcer who, for Eldon, we graduated high school together, and he was my very first friend, Eldon. I met him in third grade, and we've known each other for all those years. And I walked out, and I told him, I said, hey, that sounded like the old Eldon High School gym. That noise when you left for an hour, the noise was ringing in your ears because you knew you'd been somewhere special. That's the sound they said heaven's going to be like. The power that comes from worship. But it also brings us comfort. Just the simplest song can bring us comfort, can it? The simplest hymn, the simplest chorus. I remember when our little grandson was just a few months old and we had to take him home one night, and he was not used to being by his parents. He didn't like the dark at all. We had to put him in his car seat. It was dark and Betty was driving. I sat in the back seat. I held it, let him hold my finger, and I sang Jesus Loves Me over and over again for 15 minutes so that little guy wouldn't cry. Because he was worried, and his eyes were about this big, but it calmed him down. And you know what his favorite song is now when he gets in the car with his grandmother, and they get in, and he says, Grandma, put the CD in. I want to listen to Jesus Loves Me. Because that song brings him comfort, it brings him peace, it brings him happiness. And the same way with us, that when we read Scripture, when we sing songs, or when we praise together as one family, we're uplifted. That's why I think Psalm 100 was my father-in-law's favorite psalm. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generation. We get that reminder through song. We get that when we hear the voices next to us. Someone said it this way, a happy heart springs forth almost spontaneously in song, and who has more reason to be happy than the Christian? But how do we pray and praise when we leave this building for the next 6 days till we meet again next Sunday? That's the important thing, that we have those times of reflection, those times together that we're encouraged, those times together when we can listen to God and God can hear us. I encourage you to find times throughout the week when it's just you and God, you know, blank out your mind and try to put in your mind the image of peacefulness, somewhere, that place that's peaceful to you. And that's helped me in the last couple weeks. The image that I've picked up is the one of Jesus in the boat with his disciples in the storm. All the disciples are going crazy. Where do we find Jesus at in the storm? He's sleeping in the bow of the boat. That image of him sleeping in the midst of a great storm has kept me calmness. Then think of a verse of scripture that brings you and encourages you. Think about one word in that verse and then pray for others around you. Try to blank out those times and let God speak to you. Let God fill the void in your heart and your mind. All the things that our minds, you know, take over and the things that preoccupy ourselves. And then we got to find those times to praise. I encourage you to find a Christian radio station as you're driving back and forth, or maybe a CD made up of Christian songs or ones that are favorite hymns. I ran into Cheryl Schindenberg a couple weeks ago at Sweet By and By, I guess down here. She was picking up CDs for her aunt because she was in isolation because of a COVID diagnosis, and she wanted her to be encouraged by the songs that she was familiar with. So she was finding these CDs so that she could listen and that she could be encouraged. Think about some of our most favorite hymns. Blessed Assurance. What does the chorus say in Blessed Assurance? This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. And then he goes up another octave. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. And then the song In the Garden. How's that chorus go? He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I am his own. When we put those images in our mind, we combine that with our prayer life. We see the power that comes. That the early church was a church of prayer and praise, and we must have that collectively, and we have to have it individually. We see various prayers and special hymns. They focus on the greatness of God, and that greatness then brings us into the presence of God. We see Paul and Silas singing and praying in church, and that's my prescription to you. Pray and sing and rely on the greatness and goodness of God.